So we're here in a storage closet. we were in the studio for years with COVID, and it always looked nice. And now it's kind of collected all kinds of things.
It's just authentic.
And I was like, you know, I can clean it up. Or let's just make it part of the... So you put plants, and you're good.
It's the real
It's nice. Look how nice it is. This is not the real... This is not the real Dan. This is you're a little nervous that it looks this dirty, aren't you?
And this is the cleaned up reel. Okay, I got you.
I know that you're unsettled by this.
Remember, one of the stories I live in is a little perfectionism. So. A little like
ushers us right in. So what we wanted to do is we kind of wanted to have a kind of continue the conversation we're having for the next year, which keeps psyching people out. We're going to do the series for the next
year. Psychs me out.
We have all these chapters, and someone asked me. So we started this week. I said we're going to hit two verses, and someone asked. They're like, "Are we going to be in Genesis the entire year?" I'm like, "No, not the whole year. No, but we're in the story of God, looking at this large story of God." And you kind of kicked off here recently, kind of chatting us through a story of prodigal son. Luke 15, we all live into stories. You kind of gave this list of stories that we can all live into, which might be new language for some people. Like, what do you mean stories? Like, we don't always think like that. But we live into all kinds of different stories. So you talked about the stories of perfectionism, the stories of pragmatism, just trying to get things done, materialism, stories of the American dream. Like, here's the story. You got to do this, live their good life. What are some of the stories in your years of pastoring? You've been a pastor how many years?
Oh, wow.
What's your story?
30-plus years.
30, yeah. 30, we're rounding up. 30-plus. And, yeah. And you've said a lot in sermons, if my walls could talk.
Yeah.
What are some of the stories that have showed up the most in your years of pastoring for people? Like stories that people are living into, stories that people are wrestling with, stories that people are believing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the story, you know, what's interesting is, maybe I start here, the stories that I hear people sharing, it's interesting where they're sourced from. I think people live into stories for different reasons.
Yeah.
Like, I think for some people, we're born into a story.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, you were born into a story. I'm born, based on your family, based on your demographic, geography. Yeah. You know, I mean, you could use a stupid little example. Like, I grew up thinking Penn State was the best football team ever, and I just figured everybody loved that story, and I moved to Ohio and realized you guys didn't get that book.
It was a real different story.
And then I think culture plays a part, and then, you know, our sin nature plays a part.
Yeah.
I think media can play a part. Our personalities can play a part. And I think behind some of this is, you know, obviously we have an enemy. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Who is always wanting us to hear and believe a different story than the true story. And so when I sit in my office, you hear people, sometimes their false story comes from their pain and the things that maybe they've endured in their past. And so what that pain has done is it's bent them to just believe a story.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who live in the story. I would say probably the biggest one is romanticism.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm going to live based on my feels. If it feels good, I'm going to do it. That's what's true. That's and we can even convince ourselves that's the Holy Spirit, you know?
That's very true. Yeah. Yeah, you say Roman, and it's very easy. You know, we talk about Sundays, we talk about this because it is kind of the spirit of our age in a lot of ways, that do what feels right. I was just listening to a song this week, and it was just this whatever song, and the chorus is like, if it feels right, nobody can tell you that it ain't right.
and I'm
like,
there it is.
That's like, you don't have to look to find it, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes that conversation can feel like, oh yeah, culture believes those things. But my wife and I were talking, Sarah, we were talking about, you know, what's the stories we believe? And we both found ourselves in that story. Mm-hmm. The romanticism story. Not in this, like, I just do what feels, in this, like, very explicit 2025 cultural language type of way, but just in a way, very much, you're like, is this what God wants? Because I thought it would feel different.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we supposed to be part of, you know, this? I think this people experience this. You come to church, maybe you go to a group, maybe you're like, I thought it would feel different. Mm-hmm. I thought it might feel, because we're used to songs doing, we're used to movies going, you know, and it feeling a certain way.
So it doesn't feel right, it must not be right.
Yeah, and on one sense, there is like a gut thing sometimes. So, you know what I mean? You're like, I don't know, that guy don't look right. You know, there is that, but I know for us, a lot of those conversations, you know, if I come home, like, what's wrong? Oh, that doesn't feel the way I wanted to today. You know, this conversation didn't go the way I wanted to. I didn't get done what I wanted. I wanted to feel different when I got to 5 o'clock. And you can just base your decisions and where you're at with God based on that.
Well, I think here's where the confusion comes is we use the word right. It doesn't feel right. It must not be right. And I think really what we mean is it doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel convenient. It doesn't feel easy. It doesn't feel, you know, whatever. And you anybody would know this, that sometimes the right thing is uncomfortable. Right? It doesn't feel – I don't feel like I want to do that, but I know I should do that.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I think we can confuse the semantics of it. And that's where the stories, like you talk about that song, they're everywhere. Like I remember growing up, a guy telling me, Dan, you can be whatever you want to be. Just you got to believe and work hard. And I remember thinking, that's awesome. And if I was 6'5", and you know, I maybe could play in the NBA or NFL. But you know, there's just stories. And I remember as a kid thinking, I can be whatever I want to be. And so anyways, yeah, I think when I think about the – I think I have seen people – we live in multiple stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if I were to look at my own life, like if you were to ask me what story do I find myself living in, the ones we talked about Sunday, I probably have hung out in each of them a little bit. Yeah. And sometimes you can get confused. What story am I in? But, you know, you get in this hedonism like, man, I just – you know, pleasure is the deal. And, you know, I just – narcissism or – individualism maybe is an easier way to say it, where well, the story's about me, you know, and I got to look out for me. If I don't look out for me, who will?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And so I find myself dipping in and out of each story.
We were in our small group. We were asking this question a couple weeks ago, and someone said the phrase, I don't know if we said it, idealism.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good one because everything is – and this all can sound like you're talking about some kind of – oh, that idea. Like, we all feel that. Like, you're on social media and you're whatever, and you're like, even if it's an ad or if it's a new phone or if it's a, like I was on vacation last month and I'm going to take the kids on the, take the boys with me. We went down to, woke them up early, went down to West Virginia. And in your brain, you have this little, like, story of how this whole thing's going to go. And I knew it wasn't going to go perfect, but you've got a story. And it doesn't take very long. You're like, this is just different. This is a different story than the one I told. And not that, it's probably worth us saying, and you might have said this week one, I listened. Not that these stories are all inherently like every other sinful, or every other story sinful. So if you're living in romantic, if you feel anything, that's a sin. Or if you're trying to make sense of this, it's a sin. Or if you buy anything, that's not what we're saying. Yeah, what we're saying is sometimes it's when we don't think about the story we're living into. Wake up, brush our teeth. Get in the car, but it's when that story collides with something that you're like, all of a sudden, oh, this didn't turn out. I expected this to feel this way, to look this way, to play out this way.
Yeah, I mean, somehow when we talk about this idea, I totally agree with you. Like, there's you think about the story of rationalism. We're thinkers, you know. Yeah. So praise God for that. And you know, there's certain things like, hey, I need to be rational about this and think about it. Yeah. You know. But when I think about the idea of story, I think about it this way. It's like how we answer the big questions of our life. You know, like maybe basic one that we were talking about early on is how do we get here? Why are we here? What's the plot? Who's the, you know, who's the hero?
Yeah.
All of those things. And if we don't know that, just think about this. It'd be like 10 of us getting in a room saying we're going to be part of a play, but nobody got the script. And so I'm going to pick my favorite play, act out my favorite role, and we're all going to be – I mean, it's going to be chaos, right?
Yeah.
And unless we get a script, somebody's the writer, you know, and here's your roles. And it's like, oh, now we can act this play. And I think a lot of us feel like we're just dropped on a stage and like, what's the script? And so we just start taking our cues and acting out.
Yeah,
based on a story. But I think story is how we answer some of those big questions of life. What actual truth is, how I determine truth, all those things.
You know, it reminds me of, you said this, you talk about the younger brother and the older brother. And the younger brother who goes away, and as he's coming back, he's telling himself a story. And the older brother in the story in Luke 15 is, he's like mad that this kid got all the stuff, and he had a story he lived into. And there can be, I run into this all the time, is that not everybody, some of us have maybe like church backgrounds. We all probably have some type of spiritual, religious background, even if we didn't come to church, like what we thought of it. And sometimes I have this conversation with people all the time, sifting through what parts of those stories are true and what part of those stories maybe aren't wrong, but are emphasized strange, maybe communicated different, maybe, you know what I mean? And so that can be confusing sometimes because you have a book, maybe it's missing a couple pages, or maybe you flipped in and started at page 4 instead of page 1. And that can be hard for people. That's where you hear the phrase deconstruction, as people are taking apart the story. Maybe they're reworking that religious story in some sense. That can be hard to get lost in as well. Because you're like, well, I thought I believed God's story. I thought this was God's story, but it's not. And that can be hard to work through as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it can. I can't live in a God story if I don't know it. We talked about that, right? Yeah. And so, this is just an observation. I think a fair amount of us would say we know God's story, but maybe we don't know the overarching of God's story. And so that's why a year in this thing, no, we're not going to do, a year in Genesis, a year. That's not what we're saying. But I know I was in seminary parsing Greek verbs and looking at individual verses until I came across a book that gave me the picture, the big picture. And I was like, man, it just connected the dots for me. Because somehow that story, the Luke 15 story of the two boys and their dad, are interesting to me because you could walk away from that and say, well, the story of God isn't about having joy and fun because the prodigal son, he went the wrong way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the story, he found the most joy and celebration in the presence of the father's story. They killed the fatty calf.
Yeah.
On the flip side, you got the older boy, and it's like, well, this thing isn't about hard work. In the presence of the father, the son works hard, right? And yet can enjoy the presence of his father, and he was missing out on that. And so somehow they were living out their stories out of the umbrella of the one true story. And so I think, when you think about all these little stories and stuff, if somehow I can find those stories under the umbrella of the true story of God, all of a sudden I can sift out what's true, what's right, things like that in the process.
Our hope for this, as we kind of have these conversations as we're going through the story of God, is just to connect some of the dots. We introduce that language of story. And I imagine some of the conversations had with people, it can feel like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Or, now, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by God's story? And the hope is that as we keep going, that we can just keep flushing that out, holding up our experience, our understanding, our interpretation of life and of things to the story of God, that Jesus would kind of continue to make us more like him, help us to see our story in a different light, help us to see the truth in light of his story, in light of his glory and grace, as the old song says. But it's good doing it. You got anything else? We hit record and we never really talk about how to start or end.
I think this, if you're part of Grace Church, man, hopefully you'll see this as an adventure.
Yeah.
Like that we get to do this together. Like, let's jump into the story together. And if you're not part of Grace Church and you're checking this out, come hang out with us for the next year. Yeah.
I love it. We'll be back next week.